ever to move along quickly and encourage you to just, if you're interested in the material, to maybe take notes quickly, because I'm going to have to roll. I'm used to speaking for an hour and a half, so I'm going to move very quickly. We're using the illustration this morning. It's been something that has been helpful to, as Jesus spoke in illustrations, to try to get people to understand the importance. We're told to love the Lord our God with all what? Heart, soul, and mind. I don't think that because it goes in that order that the mind is any less important, do you? And yet, it is the thing that so many people have set aside. It is the thing that is first and most venomously attacked. Oh, that's too intellectual. That's too high-minded. Oh, you're so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. What? We are told that we must develop the mind of Christ. There are people who have made professions and yet have no possession of Christ. Oh, they've walked the aisle, they've raised a hand, they've even repeated some words, which isn't found in the Bible. And so are deceived. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And this is what God said. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who spoke and it became. The God who is so much bigger than man's imagination, your revelation is seen from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. And Father, I pray that we would come to know you in a deeper and a greater sense this morning than we have yesterday. That we might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. And all God's children said, amen. Here in 2 Corinthians, he says, Satan has blinded the minds. And we use the illustration here of the window. The window represents, it illustrates, it's an example of our minds. And this mind is one that is darkened and clouded and difficult to see. To see the glorious truth about who Jesus Christ is. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Satan is seen as the god of this age, but I tell you that in some Christian cults today, they are even preaching and teaching that God gave up his authority to the earth, that he lost the authority over planet earth when mankind fell. And now that Satan is the god of this world. Oh, friends, that's the cult. God tells us in Psalm 89 that the earth is yours and everything in it belongs to you. Above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth, because God created it all. It all belongs to him. And God has not, and he will never, pass over the authority, his authority, as the sovereign God of the universe to anyone. In fact, that is why Satan was cast out, wasn't it? Remember? He said, I will sit on the throne of God. And God said, mm-mm. was cast out. Satan, who is the god, small g, of this world. And it really refers to his influence. It would seem that he has such a great influence that the little g, actually, if we go back to the Hebrew, is talking about the rulers. They were simply men who would die as men, and yet he called them gods because they were the rulers. They were in authority on earth. And so that is what he's talking about here. He says, Satan, who is the god, little g, just the ruler, which doesn't really mean that he has any authority over anything other than his influence. And oh, a massive following. And here in America, like no other place, do we see the abandonment of the truth of God. He has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. If we think of Matthew chapter 13, he talks about the different soils, right? And the seed is cast out on the ground, and it's a hard pan, and the birds come and take it. And that, as Jesus explained, that was Satan who snatched it up. You see, they're unable to see the truth about Jesus Christ. Blinded the minds of those who don't believe, and they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. The good news that is our Emmanuel. I love Christmas. Some of you know that. That's my favorite time of the year. It's the time that I celebrate. I wish it was more spiritual for me. It's not. It's about the lights and the twinkling, and I'm very ADD, EFG, HIJK, I got it all. And so the more sparkling, the more lights, the better I like it. I want to live. I'm praying that is what heaven is like. With the description of all the beautiful, precious stones and material, I think it's an ADD person's heaven. Oh, gonna be awesome. Gonna be everything, man. You're gonna be going, woo, 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 woo. I like it. But Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, who is both just and justifier for his creation. That God took on human form to pay the debt of sin that I owed, that you owed. As a sinner who is separated, not physically, right? I deal with atheists. In the worldview conferences, agnostics and atheists, and you talk about, well, in the Bible it says that you're separated from God, and they're going, well, I don't believe in him anyway. If I can get away from people like you and people who just want to hinder my freedom and my individual personal expression by being separated from God, hallelujah, send me to hell. And yet Revelation 14 says that they are tormented day and night, and the smoke of the burning sulfur in the lake of fire ascends forever and ever. There is no relief. And that is in the presence of the holy angels and who? The Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. In John 1:29, he says, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. And Revelation says, there in torment of hell, in the lake of fire forever and ever, they will be tormented day and night before the holy angels and the Lamb of God. You see, we separated positionally because of sin. Positionally. We are under the wrath of God. The holy, righteous judgment of God demands that there be an accountability, a responsibility. But I am not separated physically. No one is. Created in the image of God, we are all created eternal in the image of God. One of the characteristics. That when he breathed life into man, he became a living spirit, an eternal being. Just remember, it depends on where you're going to, heaven or hell. It's amazing to me as I've been studying through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's one side or the other. There's no neutral territory. We are either the children of the devil or we are children of God. We either choose to go through the broad gate, the path that is easy, or we seek the narrow gate that leads to heaven. We either are carnal with the mind of human reasoning and secular philosophies and ideologies, or we have the mind of Christ. It's one or the other. We either refuse Jesus Christ or we choose Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians. The good news is that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, who died on the cross for my sins, to pay the debt of sin that I owed my Creator, my God. That he was buried and then on the third day that he rose, just as the Scriptures thousands of years prior to the event foretold it would happen. And that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that brings forgiveness of sin, that takes us out from under the wrath of God to enjoy relationship in perfection. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Because it's not about who I am and what I do, it's about who he is and what he did at the cross. And Jesus made the most profound statement when he said, "It is what? Finished." I can't add anything to it. In fact, if we do, we are preaching another gospel. He says they do not understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. In Philippians, if you turn over, Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, not a human who obtained Godhead, that's a Christian cult. And when I say Christian cult, there are cults who use Christianized words and terms and ideas, and then they twist it and take it out of Scripture. Take the context, take the Scriptures out of context, and they twist the Scriptures. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, verse 7, he gave up his divine privileges. There's one of the Christian cults' hooks that they hang their hat on. You see, he gave up his divine nature. No, he didn't. He gave up the privilege. Every knee shall bow and tongue confess that what? Jesus is Lord. What did Jesus do coming to earth in the flesh? God himself simply set aside the privilege of being worshiped, of being loved, of being honored, of being adorned. He set aside that privilege. He humbled himself, he says. He took on the humble position of a slave, a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. The definition of love, sacrifice. And was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. Our Emmanuel, God with us, in the flesh. set aside the privileges of being worshiped and honored and adorned, and instead was ridiculed and laughed and spit and beat and crucified. But you see, Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He identifies the battle that is going on. And perhaps you might be familiar with Ephesians chapter 6 that talks about the whole armor of God, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do, verse 3. We use God's mighty weapon, not the world's weapons. We knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy the false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. To think biblically so that we feel rightly, so that we live godly. I was in Kansas City over Memorial Day weekend and was involved in one of my Worldview Weekend conferences. And unbeknownst to me that they had two other speakers. One was okay. We didn't agree, but he was okay. He wasn't a false prophet or a false teacher. The other, my friends, was a false teacher. And I spent the entire weekend, instead of presenting the truth of God's word, defending the sufficiency, the inerrant word of God. One of the men that was sort of okay, he said, well, just give them the four spiritual laws. That's all they need to know. I said, not in a generation who doesn't believe in truth. When we have redefined in our culture here in America as truth is anything you believe to be true. So you can quote the Bible all you want and they can say, well, I don't believe in that. We have to understand, learn to discern that truth is what is being attacked and we must begin. I was at, where's our missionary at from Navigator? I spoke for Navigators at K-State. They're the conservative college in Kansas. Though my mama went to K-State, or KU, so she'd like you. And I get the whole thing, basketball. What are the birds, right? Jayhawks, yeah. I'm like, really, Mom? Have you seen that thing? And you're really going to claim that? I mean, they're kind of they're not even real, are they? That's the problem. They pick a bird that's not even real. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I was actually speaking for Navigators at one of their large rallies at K-State. And they had promoted it on campus as a quest for truth, a journey. And quest for truth. And hundreds of young people had gathered into the auditorium to hear a presentation. And the moment that I stood up and I said, this, God's word, is truth. I heard the words. Bigot. Narrow-minded. Fool. Crutch. Security came in and had to walk out a half a dozen. So they're liberal at K-State too. And that was probably 25 years ago, people. 25 years ago. See, everybody wants to talk about truth, but then when you say this is truth, then we have to set a foundation for the true gospel. He says, in this aspect, we who are human, we must do war, but not like humans do. We must use the spiritual weapons that God has equipped us with, being the sword of the Spirit, first and foremost. We destroy the false arguments of I'm a victim of my past, I'm a product of my environment, I was born that way. I've heard them all. We must destroy the false arguments. Be reasonable thinking believers who have developed the mind of Christ. We destroy every proud obstacle of arrogance and pride that keeps people from knowing God. There are many people who know about God. But friends, even here, there may be those who do not know God. In Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. They called him by his title, Lord. They knew something about him. In fact, they believed that they were getting into heaven because it was judgment day and they were calling on his title, Lord, Lord. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. Sound like a Christian cult today? One of the fastest, largest, deceiving, deceptive Christian cult, that New Apostolic Reformation. New word of knowledge. Don't need this. Get it personal right here. That is a false prophet. I've been to heaven and back. Well, I don't know. There's only three other guys who saw heaven, and they were told, shut up. John was a little bit different. But even in there, he didn't give it all. Paul was said, the words are too amazing to even share. Don't speak about what you've seen. Stephen was given a glimpse before he entered into reality. We prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name. And what did Jesus reply? I never, what? Knew you. Throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. God used that illustration. He used that term as a husband knows his wife. And what happens? A child is born. That's intimacy. That is a special relationship of knowing one another. It's not just an intellectual deal. He says it's relationship, not religion. Oftentimes, and it's just for shock value, but it does get their attention. Weekend worldviews conferences, I'm always asked, well, really, Ronnie, doesn't it matter if we're just sincere and don't all religions lead to the same place? And I say, yes, they do. You're right. They all lead to hell. Biblical, historical Christianity is not about a religion. It is about a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, who reconciles us, brings us back to a right relationship with God. Oh, I got so excited I missed my place. Capture their rebellious thoughts. Make it obedient to Christ. Colossians 2:8, he says, don't be captured by empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that's dependent on human reasoning and philosophies of this world and the spiritual powers. It's the battle that we're against. Satan, who has blinded the minds. He, you don't bind him, by the way. Christian cult number 3. You bind Satan. Scripture says that he goes to and fro. Scripture says he is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. We capture their rebellious thoughts. Make them obedient to Christ. Turn over to chapter 11 of verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. Oh, mercy. We're still in the introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he says, "But I fear." Now we're moving past those who have been blinded. Well, if we think of the soils, we think of the soils that the bird came and grabbed that seed so that they could not absorb it. And now we move to what I think is the next two. The seed that took root, but it was shallow. The seed that was jumped on, and they ran up front to the altar, or they raised a hand, or they repeated the words, and they were thrilled about it, and people give their life to Jesus all the time. And, but what they're really hearing is that give your heart to Jesus. What's the problem with the heart? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "It is deceitful above what? All things." I live with 5 women. I'm an expert on this. Not the heart. Not the heart. I'm not talking about my wife and children now. What's the problem with emotions? It changes. We see multitudes of people moved in their hearts and their emotions. When we look at the charismatic chaos that's going on, it's emotion, it's experience. It's not based on truth and fact and reality, historical, scientific, archaeological fact and proof. And it is the living Word of God. So here, as we move to that next group of people, he says, in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, "But I fear somehow that your pure and undivided devotion," verse 3, "I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted." They had a devotion. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, referred to as Satan, who's blinded the minds. And now deceiving. Verse 4, he says, "You happily put up with whatever someone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus." Do they do that? Yes, they do. They preach that Jesus was either just a good moral man, or that he was just a good religious teacher or a prophet, or he just became God. And believers are believing. Those who are preaching another Jesus, give your life to Christ, he'll take all your problems, all your cares, and you'll have your best life now here on earth. Guess what? That is true for those who do not believe. For those who do not know God, this is their best life now. Because when this life is over and judgment takes place, they will find themselves in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever, day and night. Then he goes on to say, it's not just that they preach a different Jesus than the one we preached, but a different kind of spirit. The blue genie in the bottle, right, is how he has been explained in the new apostolic reformation. That the Holy Spirit is just a blue genie, and you just rub the bottle, right? You have enough faith and you energize whatever you want, you get. The Holy Spirit of God is not a genie in the bottle to give you what your flesh desires. And that brings us to the last one of the introduction. Then the one who received a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. That different gospel, that's the one that feeds the flesh. In Sunday school, I will present to you a conservative denominational church that I contended with the entire time at the junior high national finals in Huron. What they publish and what they share with people to lead them to Christ says nothing about Jesus, says nothing about sin, says nothing about hell, says nothing about heaven. That is another gospel. But how does he do it? Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he says, I'm not surprised even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light, using Christian terms and ideas and then twisting them. 99% truth is still what? A lie. Most believable lie. In verse 15, he says, so it is no wonder that his servants, talking about Satan, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Just as Satan disguises himself, the children of the devil, the servants of Satan, are teaching the doctrines of demons. We must learn to discern. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, he says, I'm shocked. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, I am shocked that you're turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through loving mercy of Christ Jesus. You are following a way that pretends to be the good news, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, who suffered and died, was buried, and rose again, and is coming again. But this time, with flaming fire, to pour out the wrath of God on those who do not know God and those who refuse to obey the good news of Jesus Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. Verse 7, it is not good news at all. For if that is the good news, then you and I are still accountable for our sins. And we'll spend eternity in hell. He says it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who desperately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including even us, or an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. And I say it again because it is that important. God says it again. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one that you welcomed, let that person be cursed by God. Chapter 5 of Galatians. Chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. If you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. The Christian cults will add to the gospel and make it a false gospel, another gospel. It is not faith alone in Christ alone, by God's grace alone, plus works. It's period. Because Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And he said on the cross, it is finished. For all who are convinced in their mind and believe in their hearts that Jesus was the Messiah, God in the flesh, who suffered and died, was buried and rose again, and is coming again, then he is Lord and he is Master and he is King. Amen. You have been cut off from Christ and you have fallen away from God's grace. If you try to add anything to it. Real quickly. In Ephesians chapter 5, as we talk about. Oh, mercy. As we talk about the relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, God goes back to that idea of relationship, intimacy, oneness. That's why I have the chain and the two rings. The chain represents Christ, and the large ring, my life, and the small ring, Becky's life. And the chain runs through both rings in the same way that Christ ran through both of our lives. And when we came together, he made us one. One flesh. And now, he uses that same illustration and he says, husbands, love your wives the way that Christ loved the church. Not the building, not the denomination, but the body of Christ. He uses the term church. So love your wives. Sacrifice the way that Christ loved the church. And he goes on and look in verse 26, talking about that relationship. He says, to make her, referring to the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. By the cleansing of God's word. The sponge represents my life, me. The water that we just read about here, he says, make her clean, holy, washed by the cleansing of God's word. I don't know if you guys have ever ran your wiper blades on your pickup or vehicle or whatever you're doing, tractor, whatever it is out there, without any water. Not a good thing. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, he says, the Spirit of God alone, period, gives life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. If I were to simply muster up enough and try to clean the window of my mind with human effort, oh, I might be able to open up a few spots. I might be able to even clear out a little window to where I could see. But he says to be holy, to be pure. It takes the cleaning of God's word. And as we saturate our lives, in Ephesians there, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's not like just filling up a cup. It's being saturated. Be filled with the Spirit means saturated. And it needs to start here. We must begin. You can give your heart to Jesus. And emotions change. We must develop the mind of Christ. We must begin to think. We must begin to think. This is why I asked them for a thing for the floor. Because I knew you guys would probably never have me back. You still may not. I don't know. I never know. Pretty soon, the mind begins to see the glorious gospel of the good news. Truth becomes more evident as the mind is cleared out. What did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? He said, it's a stronghold. What is the stronghold made of? The lies of Satan that we have believed. The lies of Satan that we have allowed into our mind to build the wall. The stronghold. What do? We tear it down. What do we tear it down with? God's weapons. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the very power of God to salvation. So clean and pure so that we can see, so we can think. So that we can come to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Why are there those who profess Christ and yet continue to live like the world? Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that they cannot see the reality of who Jesus Christ is, the truth of who Jesus is. Why are there professing believers who never seem to get beyond just the church and going to church and just doing the Christian thing? Do you know that I have talked to so many Bible college and seminary students who came to know Christ their sophomore and junior year of seminary, of Bible college? They came from a Christian home. They went to church all their lives. They've been through Sunday school, been through Awanas. They've now spent 2 to 3 years in Bible college or seminary. They fit in. They know how to play the game. But they have never surrendered their mind to the truth of God's word, to the power of God to bring salvation, so that they surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Why do people live like the world and yet say they're Christians? Because they have never torn down the strongholds that Satan has built in their minds. I love the scripture reading this morning, 1 Peter. Always be ready to give an account for those who ask for the hope that is in you. Contend earnestly for the faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. We have no time to be passive. We must be aggressive in learning to discern truth from error. Learning to allow the Holy Spirit to take the power of God. First to know Jesus Christ, and then to tear down the strongholds of the principalities and the powers and the secular reasoning and ideologies and philosophies that have permeated our educational system. There's no more greater investment that this church could make than one who is on the college campus. She is doing battle in a place that rejects truth, that rejects Jesus Christ, that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. If she is presenting the true gospel, there's no greater investment you could make than someone who takes Jesus, the real Spirit, the real gospel to a college campus. What about you? Have you surrendered your mind to the power of God? We are called to develop the mind of Christ. Be transformed by what? Let God transform us, change us from the inside out by changing the way we think. If we do not think biblically, we will never feel rightly. And if we don't feel rightly, we will never live godly. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share with brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ who, Lord, have a passion for truth, who have stood faithful to the presentation of truth. And Father, even here this morning, perhaps there are those who know about Christ but do not know him. May your Holy Spirit take the power of your word, tear down the strongholds, take away the blindness that they might see the glorious truth about Jesus Christ. And surrender not only their hearts, but their minds and their lives to follow Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would give the generations before our children the courage to stand for what's right, to proclaim the true Jesus, the true Spirit, and the true gospel. That our young people might learn to discern truth from error. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of his children said,